Well, I too greet you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Lord and Savior of the church, and the Lord and Savior of this church. Welcome. It's a warm evening, and I will endeavor to share some inspiration from the Word and allow this meeting to move on with our testimonies. About 10 years ago, I was at the Huntington Prison. I was there as a visitor, and we had a youth chorus at that time. If any of you brothers would want to take up that cause and lead a youth chorus in this church, I think we'd welcome that. So we had a youth chorus, and we were going there to put on a service, to do a service for the inmates. When it was our turn to go back, we entered into like a holding room, which is basically where you enter into a small, like a 8x8, a hallway, if you will, with a door in front of you and a door that closes behind you and locks, sort of like a lockout. That way they can control everybody's movement in that room. And we all got in there, or a good many of us did, and the door buzzed behind us, and there we were. It took 30 seconds or so for the door to open in front of us. And the chaplain was standing beside me, the chaplain of the prison, and he looked over at me and he said, "Well, this isn't closed communion, but it's close communion," he said. So what was he trying to say? And I've often thought about that. He actually said it this way. He said, "This isn't close communion, it's close communion." That's exactly how he said it. And I thought, So anyhow, it gave me something to think about. I've thought about that statement many times because I've thought about who we are. What do we believe? What position do we take? And basically, this Lord's Supper, the communion, it's also referred to as the Eucharist, which that's an acceptable term. That we are about to take of, how does our church view it? How do I view it? What does the Bible say about it? And so basically there's three boxes. I'll write them up here on the board as I understand them. We are talking about communion. Yeah, I do trust to spell check a good bit on my program. So it is, the three categories are open, close, and I'm going to add a D over here for closed, and then close. That's the boxes that Christendom, that the churches across the globe think of. Somewhere in these boxes, or between two, is where they operate and how they think and how they proceed. And I'm asking us tonight, where do we fit in? And I'd like to just explore that for a little bit here tonight. I want to consider these three areas of belief and practice as it relates to the Lord's Supper. Open, close, or close? Which is it? Which are we? Well, I think the first clue can be found in the nature of our meeting here tonight. Council service to receive one another's testimony as it relates to receive one another's testimony and accounting of our own life before our brotherhood. What do you think that sounds like to you? I think we understand, and I'll just say, I believe that we practice closed communion with a few case by case and agreed upon exceptions. And I'll maybe go into that just a little bit later on. But let's think about open communion first of all. There is a lot of Christian churches that practice open communion. But I was also very encouraged in the reading that I did on the subject. There are a lot of churches that definitely are not there. And there is a lot of fundamental churches who are in a closed position. And they talk about discipline. They talk about church faith and practice. And so it's not just conservative, or I should say Mennonite or Anabaptist concern and interest. Open communion. Well, open communion welcomes all who confess a faith in Christ, or at the very least are in attendance on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening when communion is shared. And so if you're in a church that practices open communion, you may be there to visit, and they say, this morning we're having communion. All of you, if you believe in Jesus Christ, or if you wish to, please come up here, or we'll serve you communion, and you can partake in communion that Sunday morning. So that is what we're talking about. Often they'll use the term the Lord's table in their language, and they say, who are we as a man to judge or have bias or make judgments or get in the way of communion? And so they'll take that approach. Baptism or no baptism, membership or no membership, participation or no participation, or service in a body, it's not really the focus. And as I already mentioned, this position obviously does not include church discipline. So to whom you serve communion, to those same people you are in fellowship with in open communion. And the church in that setting loses its ability to separate. It loses its ability to draw a line between the sinner and the saint. That is sort of laid aside. That's erased. And there is no legitimate position at that point to excommunicate, because they have opened the deepest meaning of brotherhood to whomever is present and whoever expresses their desire for communion. And so that's the open communion platform, and it's not one that we practice Sunday morning. It would be wonderful if one of the neighbors in one of these next houses would walk in the door and sit down and be with us for tomorrow morning service. But we would be shocked if Duane would invite them to come forward for communion. We don't practice that, and we understand that. We've seen that. Finally, open communion is often, those who practice open communion often have a more sacramental view. And one of the privileges I had early on in my ministry was to sit with a person who was a strong Catholic and wrestle through what we believe, what the Bible teaches, how we understand it, and what the Catholic Church believes. And the Catholic Church, the Roman Church, I'll use Brother Laban's term, let me remove Catholic, Catholic's a good term, the Roman Church views this, the communion, the emblems, as a sacrament. And so an open church is often very sacramental. And that is, they believe that you somehow receive graces of Christ that you don't experience right now in relationship with him. In other words, the communion gives you graces. Partaking of those emblems gives you graces. You receive more grace than you are already experiencing in Christ. That's generally what a sacrament is. And we will think more about that in a little bit as well as we go forward here. And so I'm just going to move right forward to closed communion. I'd like to take that one on and spend a little bit of time with it. Closed communion, just think about an open door and think about a closed door. Yes, it's that simple. It's restrictive by nature. It's disciplined by nature. It's not open to all, but rather it is reserved for those in a local assembly and relationship with one another. That's what close communion generally is understood to be. Now, observing close communion, or closed communion, I'll say it that way. In observing closed communion, the focus or intent of the exclusiveness is not to offend or unnecessarily exclude anyone, but rather, and I'd like to look at a couple points on this, but rather, why? What's the purpose of closed communion? Number one, it's to obey the Bible command to separate from sin and sinners. And if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, I want to go through a couple of passages here in 1 Corinthians. I'll probably just use most of the verses from 1 Corinthians, although there are other places you can reach to in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11 is one verse I'd like to look at. Paul is challenging the church here. The church has just got tangled up with fornicators and ungodly people. Sin had come into the church, and Paul was challenging them. And he says here in chapter 5, verse 11, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother," follow me here, "a brother in the church be a fornicator or covetousness or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat." Now those words, and I went to the interlinear and I wrestled back and forth with it, but I'm going to accept it, those words, "not to eat," on two levels. One is that we don't have close fellowship and friendship. The brother who has committed his life, who's going after the booze, is someone who we're not just going to have over for the picnic and for a supper on a regular basis. We're not going to have that close friendship and fellowship. That's what I believe these verses are telling us, not to eat. It doesn't mean that we wouldn't. We would certainly engage with him, but we begin to break relationship. That's what Paul's saying here. And the second level is that we are not to eat at the communion table. We're not to come together in the closest of all fellowships at the communion table. And so the purpose of closed communion is to address that question right there. There is a restriction, and so on. So the Bible commands us to separate from sin and sinners. Matthew 18, verse 17 says this, And if he, speaking about the brother, in the verse before it says that, the brother, "if he shall neglect to hear them," the concerned brothers, "tell it unto the church, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." One of those words means a tax collector, a cheat, just an ungodly person. Let him be as that. And so again, we see separation being brought, and that's being recognized there. The next purpose of closed communion is to protect the sanctity of the body, the church, and the individual. This isn't all just about protecting a space, but it's also about protecting me or protecting the individual. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Actually, I'll start with chapter 10, verse 16 through 21. And it says this, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, but we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is sacrificed, offered in sacrifice to the idols is anything?" And here's the two verses. "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye shall have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's tables and of the devil's tables." Protecting the sanctity of the body. Closed communion is recognizing that it's possible for us to try to partake of both tables. And I think, brothers and sisters, as we know our own flesh, it's very easy for us to want to reach out there and just partake of the devil's food. And so this is a time of reckoning. This is a time of accounting. We know it's coming. We think about it. And it's just a door that we must reckon with, a choice that we must reckon with. So it is to protect the sanctity of the body and the individual. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verses 28 through 30, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Those are familiar verses. But again, it's one of the reasons why we have this service here tonight. It's one of the reasons why we understand this position of a closed communion. We understand that there is an accountability we have as the church to have a pure church, but there is an accountability that we have for ourselves and for others, that they are not able to bring damnation upon themselves by partaking of this communion, which is not theirs to take, because they have not entered into relationship with Christ, or they have turned back from Christ, those kinds of things. So we're called to examine ourselves. And this service tonight is us doing this noble work together and sharing that testimony, our testimony, with each other. It's a way of us all doing this together, examining ourselves. And so we lift it to that importance that we say, we should be examining ourselves every day, every week. And often we find ourselves examining ourselves every Sunday. That's wonderful. We need all of that. But here's a time when we say, we're going to stop. We're going to put this on pause. And we're going to examine ourselves in preparation specifically for the Lord's table. And so that's part, one of the ways in which this is a closed communion. This service tonight can get long, and at times it can be tedious, but it's a safeguard for the church and for our own selves, for myself, for yourself. Closed communion, how do we do that? Well, closed communion, the purpose of it is to honor the example of Christ. In my studies, I came across the thought that Christ was exclusive in perhaps at least two ways in that first Lord's Supper. One was that he gathered the 12 with him privately into that room for that supper. Secondly, if you go to John chapter 13 and you look at it in reference to some of the other accounts of the service in that upper room, it appears that Judas was dismissed before the emblems, before Jesus served the bread and the cup. And so we see an exclusiveness there. And so we do attempt to honor the example of Christ by the closed communion that we practice. Another point, reason, or how we accomplish the closed, or the purpose of the closed communion, is to express true unity of the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, I'll just read it. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Wow. Very, a lot of unity expressed in that verse. And if you're still here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And that word up there, one bread, means, commentators say, one loaf. And so tonight, we're coming together here as one loaf. Unity of the faith, of practice, of belief, of understanding, of fellowship, of accountability. And we're coming together to honor this. Closed communion, I believe, brings that about. Perhaps it's the only way, or it's the best way to bring that about, to ensure that. That there is unity, true unity of the faith is found in this way of practicing communion. One loaf, one bread, unity of the faith, unity of the body. Closed communion promotes and perhaps is required to bring about unity, submission, trust, and brotherhood. We become one loaf. Many kernels, but one great loaf in Christ. Finally, closed communion views communion as an ordinance. That's how we understand it. That's how we teach it. That's how we believe it. An ordinance, which is an outward act that represents what has already happened in the heart. And so this, as we think forward to communion, we are recognizing the broken body of Christ for my salvation. We're recognizing the blood of Christ for the washing away of our sins. And that is a testimony of what has already happened in our hearts. And it's a renewal of that, not the first step, but it is a renewal of that in our own hearts. Closed communion, I believe, is rightly focused on the emblems and what they represent, on the individual who is partaking, and the high place of the church, which is the body of Christ. Those three elements. In closing, I just want to briefly look at close communion. Close communion, what is it? Well, this position is generally understood to open the door for anyone to participate in communion in this body if they are of the same denomination or they have the same order and discipline. And so, for instance, this coming Sunday morning, it would be possible for a brother to show up from Life in Christ and have communion here, and Brother Duane would announce that. I think it's possible. I'm happy to have Brother Duane step up here and correct any wrongs that I might be making here. But since Brother Duane is the same bishop between those churches and presides in those bodies, he has a connection there, and he can bring that here. But typically that's a communication thing for him to the leadership of the church and announcing it to the church as well. That's expected and the norm. It's not typically sprung, but I believe those kinds of things have happened. But that's what we're talking about in close communion, and that can become very loose. So, for instance, if you're the same fundamental King James Bible-toting, gun-carrying Baptist, if you're of the same cloth, you could very well move about in that cloth pretty freely and be received for communion because they may work from that close communion platform. So that's what it means. But I'll just throw out another possibility. If someone from Calvary wished to come and have communion here, that could very well be a quite different thing, because there would need to be, I'm not sure what Brother Duane would do with that, but it's different bishops. There isn't that connection of brotherhood and fellowship, and so that may be a different judgment call. Another possibility of close communion, what I'm telling you is that, as I understand it, we work with this platform, but there are times we make some exceptions down into this close communion territory. So if someone's here to teach our school children, someone who we've vetted for their spirituality, of course, for their Christian life, who we have the testimony of their church, who we hire to teach our children, that may be a person who we, because of their distance to their home church, we may, upon their request, take that up and decide to give them communion. That would be an example. Or someone who's living in this community for a year taking care of a family member. And it might be someone who we would consider that. So those are the kinds of exceptions, as I understand it, that we might make to the closed communion platform. Well, tonight we come together in closed communion. Not because we want only an exclusive few to observe the emblems. That's not why. No, we wish this house to be filled with men and women who have entered into relationship and obedience to Jesus Christ and can give testimony to that. We are open to that. All who wish to be one with the body of Christ as it's represented in our study this evening. We come together to prepare ourselves and one another to partake worthily of the communion table this Sunday. We come together recognizing our great need of our Savior. We come together recognizing the need of the blood of Christ upon our lives. We come together to confess our submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and our submission one to another as brothers and sisters. And when we have done so, we can reach out, yes, worthily for the cup and for the bread, not because of our perfection, but because of our faith, our commitment, and our walk. God help us.